You know, we begin with the resurrection, and we have the accounts of the resurrections and the gospel readings on Sunday, and then we're moving towards Pentecost. It's just 2 weeks away. So there's really two themes that happen during the Easter season, these 40 days, and that is the resurrection, of course, because we focus on the resurrection. Jesus is risen, and then we kind of transition and begin focusing and anticipating Pentecost, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early church. Now, that wasn't just for the early church. Every year we go through a cycle, we repeat the Pentecost feast, and we ask for a new release of the Holy Spirit on the church as a whole, but on each one of us personally. So that's really my main message today, is to prepare us for the Holy Spirit. I had something very funny happen to me after the last Mass. I preached the last Mass, and this little boy came up to me and said, "Can you run that by me again?" And I was forced to condense the homily into a sentence, which I was surprised I could do that, and so maybe that's all I need to say, you know? The point of the whole homily is that we all need the Holy Spirit, which is the power to live the life God's called us to live. You know, Jesus calls us in the gospel to follow his commandments. He says, "If you love me, you obey my commandments." And so I asked this little boy, I said, "Is it hard for you to obey the commandments?" He said, "Yeah, sometimes it is." I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit is the gift that God the Father will give you the power to follow the commandments." He goes, "Oh, I get that." So we solved that problem. But that's really all I want to say today, is the Holy Spirit, gift of the Father to each one of us, gives us the power to live the life that God wants us to live. You know, and it's called the Paraclete, or the Advocate, or the Counselor, or the Intercessor. It's Jesus Christ living inside of us so that we do have the power to live the life that he calls us to live, which is a life of following the commandments and a life of great joy. So one of the things we do during the Easter season is we read a lot from Acts of the Apostles, which, if you pay attention carefully, you see all sorts of amazing things happening, amazing acts of the Holy Spirit in a lot of ways. Like today's reading, there's exorcisms, there's healings, there's powerful preaching, there's just all this amazing things happening. And all throughout Acts of the Apostles, you read this. You read the Holy Spirit giving them direction, telling them, "No, don't go in this country, go in this country." And if you're like me, sometimes I wonder, why isn't that happening today? Like, why was it? Was the Holy Spirit active like that just in the first, you know, several hundred years of the church? And the answer is no. The Holy Spirit has been active throughout church history. The Holy Spirit acts through the sacramental life of the church. All sorts of miraculous things happen. But some of the external and internal workings of the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts of the Apostles, we don't see quite so often. And I think when we read them, it should create in all of us a hunger, like, "Lord, I want that." So externally, as I mentioned, healings, prophecies, speaking in other languages, exorcisms, and so forth. But internally, it's amazing the power of the Holy Spirit there as well. You know, the Greek word for power used in association with the Holy Spirit quite often is dynamin, which is where we get the word dynamite from. I mean, it's powerful, supernatural power. And so what we see in the Acts of the Apostles, if you just look at it, kind of take a step back, it begins with the resurrection. It begins with the apostles. They're in fear. They're hiding in the upper room. Peter couldn't even admit that he knew who Jesus was, you know, when Jesus is arrested. The apostles are also confused. You know, when we read different resurrection accounts, especially the road to Emmaus, you remember, they're all confused, they're downcast, they're like, "Why did this have to happen? We thought Jesus was going to be somebody great, and he died, and now all the plans have come to nothing." And Jesus has to explain to them why he came, why it was necessary that he died, and what his mission was, and the ushering in of Christianity in the new kingdom. So the apostles were confused, and they were afraid. And then we come to Pentecost, which will be in 2 weeks. We have Pentecost. And we see Peter himself giving this incredible homily where he speaks clearly about why Jesus came and who Jesus was, that he is Lord, and that it was necessary that he died, and that we have new life through him, and he calls people to repent, to turn from their former ways and embrace the gospel. So this incredible clarity comes upon Peter when he receives the Holy Spirit, and this incredible courage as well. And that's what I want. And I believe that every one of us in here, if we want to live the full Christian life, we want that power. We want to be able to understand even more clearly the basic gospel, what it means to be a Christian, why Jesus came, who he was, and why it was necessary that he suffered. And we also want power. I want power, just like that little boy. He wants power to be able to follow the commandments. And interestingly, this is exactly what Jesus said would happen. At the beginning of Acts of the Apostles, when they're all talking to Jesus before he ascends into heaven, Jesus tells them to stay in Jerusalem. And he says, this is why. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus promises this. You will receive the power. You will be clothed with power, he says in Luke's gospel. Again, all of it, it's a tool that the Lord gives us to serve him. It's not for our own benefit, and it's not just to show off. It's not to have miraculous things happen so that we can feel good about, you know, who we are and so forth. It's a tool the Lord gives us to be able to live the Christian life. And again, it's something that we need today as much as the early church needed it. I have this book that I read every year at Pentecost. I want to point out, if anyone's interested, called Sober Intoxication of the Spirit. It's written by a cardinal. When he wrote this, he was just a priest, but he preaches to the papal household. His name is Father Raniero Cantalamessa. And he's been preaching to John Paul II and Benedict XVI and now Pope Francis. And his main point in the book is that all of us, through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, have received the Holy Spirit. But he goes on in this book to describe how for many of us, it's a gift that we haven't fully released into our lives. That we got the fullness of it, but we have to do something to cooperate to have it released more into our lives. And that's what we're hoping, we're praying that happens to all of us in Pentecost. And one of the other things he says in here is that those manifestations of the Holy Spirit, both internal and external, the power, the courage, the charisms that we see, they were not just for the early church. They're for the church throughout the ages. And if they're not happening today, it's because we're probably not open to them enough or not cooperating. But he says this. He said, there was a time in the life of the church when all of Christendom was experiencing a spiritual intoxication in the Holy Spirit. And this inebriation purifies of sin, renews the heart in zeal, enlightens the mind, and fills us with an inner joy. I don't know about you, but I want those things. I want to be filled with zeal. I want my mind enlightened. I want to be purified from sin. And I want to live a life of joy. And I believe it's possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus himself promised that would happen. So that takes me to the gospel. Jesus, in today's gospel, begins to teach us about how to receive the Holy Spirit, what to expect. And he says it in a very clear, I think this is one of his clearest teachings. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth. So there's this, it's a conditional statement, right? It's an if-then statement. If you do this, then I will do this. If you love me, if you love Jesus, and if you try to follow his commandments, then he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there is a what we call a feedback mechanism here. It's not really, it kind of looks linear, like if you do this, then this will happen. But really there's a loop, you know, what we call a feedback mechanism. If you love Jesus and try to obey his commandments, he gives you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you an even greater desire to love Jesus and an even greater desire to follow his commandments. And then even more of the Spirit is given to you. And I'll talk about this in a minute. So Jesus tells us that's how you receive the Holy Spirit. You love him and you try to obey his commandments. And just that first part of this conditional statement, I want to say a few words about, because I think there's a lot of confusion today about what it means to love Jesus. For some people, it's just a feeling. Oh, I love Jesus, you know. I have these warm feelings about him. I go to church, you know. But love is, throughout the New Testament, is much, much more than just feelings. It is acting out. It's living. It's an act of the will where we choose to be obedient to what Jesus asks us to do. And it's not like our faith is about following rules. You know, it's not like I'm saying, oh, to be a good Catholic, you just need to follow the commandments and God will give you the Holy Spirit to do that. That's partially true. Our faith is about a relationship with Jesus Christ, a love relationship with him, where we're so in love with him that we want to please him, and of course we follow his commandments. Because if you think about it, every relationship, and again, our faith, our Catholic faith at its core is a relationship of love with Jesus Christ. Every relationship still has rules. It doesn't mean because I love someone, I can do whatever I want. And we see this most clearly in marriage, right? You approach from all the different people out there, you pick one. If God gives you a spouse, you commit your life to that other person, and you revolve your life around your spouse, and you live to please them. You spend time with them. You become their best friend, and you leave other things behind. You don't just do whatever you want. And so that's what love is in a relationship. Those are the rules of love in a relationship. And it's the same exact thing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. From all the different things out there, we choose to follow Jesus. We leave the others behind. That's what repentance is. I'm going to turn away from all this other stuff, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to live to please him. Jesus will occupy the center of my life. Those are the rules, right? But they're rules that are built into a relationship. And again, back to this idea of the feedback. You know, St. Augustine is the one who, I was reading a commentary on this passage of John's Gospel, and St. Augustine says, or he connects this passage to another passage where Jesus says, to him who has, more will be given. And what he explains is, to love Jesus and to obey his commandments is a gift of the Holy Spirit to begin with. But if we cooperate a little bit and we seek to love and obey Jesus, we get more of the Holy Spirit. That again feeds back, gives us a greater desire to love him, to obey him, gives us more of the Holy Spirit. So we have this kind of synergistic cycle where we just grow and thrive in our love for Jesus and our obedience to the commandments. So that's the great gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we come closer to Pentecost, I think the Lord wants us all to meditate on the gift that he's already given us and to ask for it to be released in our lives. I know that in this time we live in times very similar to the early church. There's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of persecution. It's not popular to be a Christian. They're not crucifying us today physically like they did in the first several hundred years of the church. But there's a lot of animosity towards Christians, and just as the early church needed power to live the life that Jesus was calling them to live, so we too need that power. I know I need that power. And again, that's what Jesus says very clearly. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So that's what we're praying for as we come closer to Pentecost. And when I meditate on what happened to the apostles, again, their absolute transformation from confusion to clarity, from weakness and fear to courage, I pray for that for myself and for all of us. You know, Father Cantalamessa, or Cardinal Cantalamessa, in this book, he says over and over again, we've all received that gift, we just need it released in our life. And what he points to is, he says this, I'll read a direct quote from him. Sacraments are not magic. They require our cooperation for the sacrament to achieve its full effect. And what he's saying is, you know, the sacraments are not just like little magic pills where we receive power this way. The fullness of Jesus Christ is present in every sacrament. But in order for us to benefit from it, we have to cooperate and come properly disposed. The Eucharist is a prime example. But in the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are certain things we need to do to cooperate with what God wants to do in our life. And so the two things that I'll leave you with in terms of preparing for this new release of the Holy Spirit in your life, first is obvious. We just have to desire it. We have to want this. You know, Jesus says in this teaching and earlier in the gospel, he says the Holy Spirit's not given to the world, right? It's not just given to anyone. It's given to those who want it. It's like a tool that the Lord gives us to serve him. What good would a tool be if we have no intention of using it? And so the first step in preparing for this release of the Holy Spirit in your life is desire, holy desire, where we just ask the Lord over the next few weeks, Lord, I want more of your presence in my life. I want the power to live the life you're calling me to. So desire. And again, the scripture that I was thinking of in Luke's gospel, you remember Jesus is teaching and he talks about, you know, what father would give their son a snake when he asks for a fish, right? And then he goes on to say, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Our heavenly Father wants to give us the Holy Spirit. He wants to give us everything good to equip us to live the life he's calling us to. So this holy desire and obedience, we cooperate with obedience. We want to serve the Lord, follow his commandments. If we violate his commandments, we go to confession. We ask God to forgive us. But if we do those two things, if we have desire for the Holy Spirit, and if we cleanse ourselves of disobedience and strive for obedience, we enter into that feedback loop where we're given more of the Holy Spirit released in our life, which is what our Heavenly Father wants for each one of us. Amen.